Welcome to episode 1016 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. 1 John 4 verse 16, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. In 1 John 4, we observe the connection between love and salvation. The truth that God is love is immediately linked with the cross, the ultimate proof of God's self-sacrificing, saving love. God's love is no vague feeling, no meaningless words. Rather, it is active and impressive, striking right at the heart of our sinful selfishness. This is the King James Version of 1 John 4 verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And because I have an old song in mind, I'll repeat, Beloved, let us love one another. That God is love has become a trite expression. Our concepts of love, colored by the ways love gets expressed in our society, fall well short of the kind of love that describes God. John is not saying love is a quality God possesses. Love is the definition of his actual nature. And the command to love is rooted in who God is. John isn't simply encouraging a feel-good attitude or a sentimental affection. He is calling us to participate in the life of God by reflecting the love that comes from him. Other versions of verse 7 say, love comes from God. When John says that, he is telling us something vital about where true love originates. All authentic love finds its source in God, just as rivers flow from a spring. This means when we love one another, we are participating in something divine. Our ability to love is not self-generated. It flows from our connection to the Creator, the One who is the source of all love. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit unless it remains connected to the vine, we cannot produce true, selfless love unless we are connected to God. This understanding of love changes how we view our relationships. Loving one another is not merely a duty or a command. It is a reflection of the character of God within us. God's love is unconditional, sacrificial, and abundant. He doesn't love us based on our worthiness or our actions. He loves because it is his nature to love. As recipients of his love, we are called to reflect that love toward others, not because they deserve it, but because it flows from our relationship with God. This is a freeing reality. We don't have to muster up love on our own strength, and we aren't commanded to love based on human standards of reciprocity or convenience. Love is divine in origin, and when we remain in God, his love can flow through us to those around us. The next statement in verse 7 takes this truth a step further. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. John connects love with being born of God, making it clear that love is the mark of a true believer. In other words, if we have been spiritually reborn, if we are truly children of God, our lives will be characterized by love. Love is the evidence of our spiritual transformation. John's assertion that everyone who loves has been born of God means that love is not optional for the believer. It is a defining feature of our identity. Just as a tree is known by its fruit, a believer is known by their love. And just as it is impossible for a tree to bear fruit apart from its roots, we cannot bear the fruit of love unless we are rooted in God. This leads us to a crucial point. Love is not just an action. It is the natural outflow of knowing God. When we come to know God, we are transformed by his love. We cannot claim to know God and remain unchanged in how we relate to others. To know God is to be impacted by his love in such a way that it spills over into every aspect of our lives. This love is not merely an emotion. It is expressed in our actions, our attitudes, and our relationships. But what does this love look like in practice? John elaborates on the nature of this love by pointing to the ultimate example, in 1 John 4:9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. God's love is sacrificial, as demonstrated by the life and death of Jesus. This is the kind of love that should mark the life of every believer. A love that puts the needs of others ahead of our own. That seeks the good of the other, even at great personal cost. In our culture, love is often reduced to sentimentality or convenience. We are encouraged to love those who love us back, to surround ourselves with people who make us feel good. But John reminds us that the love that comes from God is so much deeper. It's a love that remains steadfast, even when it's difficult or inconvenient. It's a love that seeks the good of others, even when they may not reciprocate. This is the kind of love that can only come from God, and it is the love that proves we truly know him. John makes an alarming but essential statement in verse 8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is one of the most direct and challenging statements in all of Scripture. John is not mincing words here. If we do not love, we do not know God. Full stop. This is a sobering truth for anyone who claims to follow Christ. We might be tempted to measure our spiritual maturity by our knowledge of Scripture, our church attendance, or even our acts of service. But John simplifies the measure. If we do not have love, we do not know God. Our love for others is the ultimate test of our relationship with God. But why is love so crucial? Because God is love. This statement doesn't mean that love is just one attribute of God among many. It means that love is central to the very nature and being of God. Everything he does is motivated by love. His creation, his salvation plan, his sustaining of the universe, his grace, his mercy, his abundant giving, all of it is rooted in his love. Therefore, if we claim to know God, we must reflect his love in our lives. John is clear, to know God is to love. And if we don't love, it's not just a moral failure. It's evidence that we don't truly know him. This truth should lead us to examine our hearts and our lives. Is our faith marked by love? Do we love others with the same kind of selfless, sacrificial love that God has shown to us? Or do we harbor bitterness, resentment, or indifference in our relationships? The good news is that God's love is not something we have to manufacture on our own. His Spirit enables us to love, even when it feels impossible. When we draw near to God, his love fills us, overflows in us, and touches the lives of those around us. What is the proof of God's love for us? 1 John 4:9. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him. God came to this world to save us. Jesus came, so that we might have life through him. Imagine you have a young child who is lost in the city. For whatever reason, he has not returned home. You can say, "I love him," but until you go out into the dark city streets, desperately searching for him, your words are empty and meaningless. God shows his love by his actions. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 13, Jesus proclaims, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Christ's sacrifice on the cross serves as the ultimate testament to God's boundless love for humanity. It is a love that transcends all earthly comprehension, a love that willingly endures suffering and death to redeem and reconcile us to our Creator. This selfless act of love should inspire us to love others with the same ferocity and compassion, even when it requires sacrifice and selflessness on our part. In his great love demonstrated in creation and redemption, God awakens love in our hearts. But most of all, he accomplishes this by his own personal interest in each one of us. Look back over your life and see the way God has loved you, despite all your rebellion and the tragedies of life situations. Only as we become conscious of God's great love can we be drawn back to him. Like the prodigal who became aware of his situation, the foolishness of life with pigs, we need to go back to our Heavenly Father. And as we trudge wearily up the road, he comes running to greet us, to welcome us back, not as hired hands, but as fully restored children, welcomed back into the Father's complete confidence. 1 John chapter 4 verses 20-21. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Once again, John emphasizes the need for our actions to confirm our words. We cannot go around mouthing pious platitudes about our love for God, and then by our attitude show we hate our brother. And who is our brother? Or who is our neighbor? As Jesus responded to the lawyer who asked him this question in Luke, "Everyone." Brotherly love is the vital aspect of our character that God looks for. Why? Because it shows that we care more for others than for ourselves. As we reflect on God's boundless love, may we be reminded that this love is not merely a feeling, but the very essence of who God is. When we abide in his love, our lives are transformed, and we are empowered to love others sacrificially, just as he loves us. Let us commit ourselves to living out this divine love in every relationship, knowing that by doing so, we are reflecting the heart of God to the world. Father, thank you for showing us the depths of your love through the sacrifice of your Son. Help us to abide in that love every day and to share it generously with those around us. May your Spirit guide us in loving others as you have loved us, with selflessness, grace, and compassion. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest, today.